Good morning, Shushan Purim Sameach, and welcome to another of our mini shiurim. We're in a new phase now. We're starting to learn Ezra and Nehemiah. We continue to have these daily in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And it's really important for us to learn Ezra and Nehemiah, first of all, because they are about the Jews returning to Tzion, to build the second Beis HaMikdash after the Babylonian exile. We are living in our own age of the return to Tzion, and therefore it has lessons for us. Also, the actions of Ezra and Nehemiah shaped Jewish life in ways that still affect us today. And personally, there may be lessons here about how we rebuild after tragedy. Remember, this is a nation that had the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, that had so many Jews exiled, so many people died. They've lived in poverty in Bavel, and now they're returning to Israel. How do you come back after all of that? Context for Ezra and Nehemiah. So first of all, context within Tanakh. The events that lead up to the exile to Bavel, those are recorded in the following books. Malachim, specifically Malachim Beis, the second part of the book of Malachim, the book of Kings. The prophets Yeshaya and Yirmiah, as well as the second book of Divrei Hayamim. Those present the series of events that lead the Jews to go into Bavel, and we'll have to learn a little bit of those in order to understand the events in Ezra and Nehemiah. Then following that, following the Jews going into exile, there are three Galus Sfarim, three books of exile. There is Yechezkel, which has prophecy that starts in Israel and then continues in Bavel. There is Daniel, which describes the arc of King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel's prophecies in the early days of the Persian Empire. And, of course, Megillas Esther, which we had been learning for the last few weeks, which describes events in the Persian Empire, possibly events that are taking place during the fourth and fifth chapters of Ezra. We'll have to come back to that when we get there. And then there are three books which are actually contemporary with Ezra and Nehemiah, and that's Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi. Haggai and Zechariah prophesy for the Jews when they first come back to Israel and encourage them to build the Beis HaMikdash. They encourage the Jews who are in exile to return to the land. We'll get to that, God willing, in Ezra chapters 5 and 6. And then Malachi is actually the next generation. There's a lot to talk about with him. Not sure how much we'll get into him, but worth knowing about. Worth noting, but I'm not going to get into them, the Septuagint actually has two books of Ezra, and the Apocrypha, books that do not make it into Tanakh, has something called the Vision of Ezra, which is its own story. For those who want more about Ezra and Nehemiah, other things to know about, the Dan Mikra edition of Tanakh is always very useful, very helpful. Rabbi Chaim Angel has a three-part series on YU Torah that when I first taught Ezra and Nehemiah, which was 7 years ago, I made use of then, and I remember it being valuable. The Encyclopedia Mikra'it has a lot that's useful. There are a few popular books that are out now. Dov Zakheim's book Nehemiah, which I'll be referencing when we get to Nehemiah. Yoram Chazoni's The Dawn, which I talked about somewhat when we were learning Megillas Esther. Worth noting, something just, it's a side note, but it actually will become relevant possibly today or tomorrow. I saw an article by a fellow by the name of Shmuel HaKohen. I don't know who he is. But it was a 1973 article in the journal Sinai, in which he contended, just as in a footnote, that the Ibn Ezra we have, the commentary of Ibn Ezra on Sefer Ezra, is actually Rabbi Moshe Kimchi, brother of the Radak. Now, we know that that's true for other works that are credited to Ibn Ezra on Tanakh. If I remember correctly, Ibn Ezra on Mishle, that we have as Ibn Ezra, is not actually him, it's Rabbi Moshe Kimchi. I think it's in Mishle. But it will make sense of a comment that we'll see again either today or tomorrow from Ibn Ezra. So what I want to do with Ezra and Nehemiah is obviously to learn the book itself, but also to understand the historical setting in which they take place, the importance of the events that they describe for Jewish history and beyond, the roles played by Ezra and Nehemiah themselves and other key figures in the books, and the impact of Ezra and Nehemiah personally on our Judaism. So what are these books about? So here's what they're not about. They're not really about Ezra and Nehemiah personally so much, as seen from the fact that Ezra does not show up, Ezra the man, does not show up until chapter 7 of his book. Nehemiah will not show up until the Nehemiah part that bears his name. These aren't really history books. It's missing significant description of the nation if this wanted to be a history book. Listing of important Persian kings. That's not what this is here in Tanakh for. What Ezra and Nehemiah are really about is recording milestones in our national return to Israel and the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi says this in the Kuzari, talking about Tanakh overall and what Tanakh is trying to accomplish. Kuzari is in the third part of the Kuzari, Samach Gimel, Gimel Samach Gimel. Listen to this. He says, Kosev HaMikra, the recorder of Tanakh, and obviously we have multiple prophets who record Tanakh, and then it's canonized by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, but he summarizes this as the Kosev HaMikra, the recorder of Mikra, Lo Hirgish L'Nistaros, was not concerned with hidden matters, what's going on in people's private lives. Aval Kosev HaMifursamos HaGluyos, he recorded that which was well known in public. V'lo Ha'etik MiYehoshua MeChochmaso Shekibel MeElokim UMiMoshe Davar. If you remember, those of you who were on board when we learned Yehoshua, there was nothing in Sefer Yehoshua that recorded Yehoshua's wisdom that he received from Hashem. It didn't record what Yehoshua received from Moshe. When there were conversations in the book that were relevant for events, then there was something. But it didn't have like what Yehoshua, we know Yehoshua was in Moshe's tent all the time. What did he learn there? Doesn't say. But it certainly did record in great detail how the Yarden stopped and the Jews were able to cross. So too in Ezra and Nehemiah, we're not going to find out about the personal lives of Ezra and Nehemiah. What we're going to get are the central public moments. That's really what we're getting. What else is going to be in Ezra and Nehemiah? So Abarbanel has this very sharp comment regarding Divrei Hayamim and what Divrei Hayamim is for, and I think it carries over to Ezra and Nehemiah as well. Remember that Ezra is credited with authoring Divrei Hayamim as well as recording Ezra, and we'll talk about Nehemiah. But if you take a look in Abarbanel on Divrei Hayamim, this is actually not on Divrei Hayamim. Abarbanel on Sefer Shmuel is where he makes the comment, if I remember correctly. He says, the goal of recording Divrei Hayamim, the chronicles of the Jews, why did Ezra record that? It was in order to legitimize the Davidic line, in order to get the people to support the monarchy of the descendants of David HaMelech, which dictates the choices that Ezra makes in deciding what he's going to put into Divrei Hayamim. A lot of what happens with David in the book of Shmuel does not make it into Divrei Hayamim, because it's not what's going to contribute to the nation's loyalty to the Davidic dynasty. What he's trying to do is to legitimize the monarchy of David's descendants, and he's trying to get the people to see themselves as a revival of what was in the first Beis HaMikdash. That's what dictates the choices that Ezra makes in Divrei Hayamim, and I think it applies to his choices regarding what's in Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, a little bit more, just by way of introduction, in terms of the key figures in this book. Persian kings. So we talked about this a little bit when we started Esther also, so some of this is a recap. King Cyrus, Cyrus the Great, Cyrus the Second of Persia, conquers the Babylonians, perhaps with the help of the Medes, Media. There's a great backstory to him. If you learn Yeshayah chapter 44, 45, 46, Hashem predicts him and says he is going to be my Mashiach. He's going to be my anointed one. He is the one who sends the Jews back which is something we're going to be talking about because it shows up in the beginning of Sefer Ezra. Then you have King Daryavesh, Darius of Persia, and he allows the building of the Beis HaMikdash to continue. There are Samaritan objections, which he will override. Then there's another one who's named King Ahasuerus of Persia. Seems to be after Darius based on Ezra chapter 4, but we'll have to talk about him. I referenced him a little bit in the beginning of our learning of Esther as well. And then is a King Artaxasta of Persia, who is referenced in the seventh chapter of Ezra, and he's the one who sends Ezra back to Israel. So our list of Persian kings in the book of Ezra are Cyrus, Darius, Ahasuerus, and Artaxasta. The problem is that matching them up with the kings of Persia that historians record, that were recorded by the Greeks, is very difficult. The general list of Persian kings and their reigns starts with Cyrus, right? Cyrus is the founder of the Achaemenid dynasty. And then you have Cambyses II, and then you have Darius I, and then Xerxes, and then Artaxerxes I, and then Darius II, and Artaxerxes II, and Artaxerxes III, Arses, and then Darius III, and then in comes Alexander the Great, and the Persians are done. But the period of, you know, that we're describing, where we're saying in Ezra, you've got Cyrus, Darius, Ahasuerus, Artaxasta, you know, it's difficult to match that up with the Persian history. One reason it's difficult to match with the Persian history is just basic timing. The Medrash in Seder Olam tells us that the first Beis HaMikdash is destroyed somewhere around the year 420 before the Common Era. And the second Beis HaMikdash is built somewhere around 350 before the Common Era, because it's supposed to be a 70-year exile. That's what Yirmiyahu predicted. And the second Beis HaMikdash is supposed to stand for 420 years, and it's destroyed in the year 68 or the year 70 of the Common Era. So you just work your way backward and you know where you are. The first Beis HaMikdash is destroyed about the year 420. Second Beis HaMikdash is built somewhere around the year 350. The problem is that Cyrus the Great, according to the secular historians, sends the Jews back to Israel in the year 539 before the Common Era. That's when he destroys Babel and he sends us back. So how did he do that in the year 539 and the Beis HaMikdash isn't going to be built until the year 420 when he is long gone? And not only is he long gone, but so is Cambyses II, so is Darius I, so is Xerxes, so is Artaxerxes. Darius II is king in the year 420 before the Common Era. So one problem is chronology. Another challenge is the names. We only have those four Persian kings I mentioned, named in Tanakh, Cyrus, Darius, Ahasuerus, and Artaxasta. And you have all these other ones who seem to be around. So what do we do with that? The Gemara also complicates matters on that. But I think that's where we'll pick up, God willing, tomorrow.